Good morning.
Good morning.
So we are continuing in our series today of following in Jesus' footsteps, and we're looking at things, some patterns built into the life of Jesus, that he invites us as his followers to walk in his ways and to know him through that and to glorify him. Today we're going to look at the Gospel of John, chapter 15. If you'd open your Bibles, please, to John, chapter 15, starting in verse 12. There's bulletins, if you don't have a bulletin, there's some on this end and some out that way, and there's a place in there for you to jot your notes down if you'd like to do that today. You can also, I don't know if you feel the freedom, I have the freedom to write in my Bible a lot, so if you've got the freedom to do that, do that. Highlight and circle and underline and all that good stuff. So as we get started today, I was doing a little reading. I like to read different theological statements. Back in the 1600s, there was a document, the Westminster Shorter Catechism, and one of the great quotes that came out of that catechism, out of that theological statement, was, "Man's chief end, the chief purpose of humanity, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever." And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful statement. And it had me thinking about the glory of God and how we glorify God. And Pastor John Piper likes to say that we glorify God most, he's most glorified in us when we are most satisfied in him, which I think is another great, great statement. I think it's very true. Pastor Charles Stanley, he likes to say that God is most glorified when we take him at his word, when we believe what he says, that glorifies God. I believe that too. I think that's a good statement. So I was thinking about these things, and I especially that quote from Dr. Stanley, and I thought, you know, what do I find easy to believe about God? You know, when I read the Bible, and of course it's his word, so I believe what it says. But some of those things can easily radiate with me that I can lay hold of that and think, well, of course, that's our God, you know. I read about his majesty and his power and his holiness and that he's creator, you know. I mean, if you believe the first sentence in the Bible, you know, in the beginning God created, you know, we know he spoke the worlds into existence. And if you believe that, you can believe a lot of great things about God, and I believe that. So that makes it easy to believe, well, he must be very wise. He must be very powerful to do these things. He must be great. And I read about the Lord in his word, and I see his goodness. I see his compassion. I see his mercy and his grace and his perfection and all these wonderful qualities of God. And I think, well, those are kind of easy for me to believe. You know, I don't know that I totally grasp it all because I'm a human being, even with having the Holy Spirit. But on some level, I understand those things and I believe that. So I started thinking about what's hard for me to believe. You know, what do I find difficult? Well, I know me. So knowing me, you know, in light of who I am, the scriptures talk about God delighting in me. I think, wow, I believe him, but sometimes that's a little hard because I think I don't feel like I'm worth delighting in today. You know, that he loves me and that he rejoices over us and he has purpose for our life. And, you know, I read these things, I know they're true, but they sometimes just don't instantly radiate, you know, just to where I just think, well, of course. And as I read the scriptures, you know, we were singing earlier about the Lord calling us friend. I'm like, you know, there are times where I understand I was a slave to sin, walking in darkness, that I had no way of freeing myself, of paying that price, that Jesus came and did what I couldn't do, and that I can understand, okay, he's an awesome redeemer, and I know that I needed redemption, but that he would call me friend. Like, I kind of wrestle with that. You know, I know it's true. I know it's true, but sometimes it's hard for me to believe. And this morning, I want God to be glorified in us believing what he says, because he does declare us his friends. And there are privileges that go with that. There are blessings that go along with that. And I want us to recognize that and glorify God by believing his word this morning. So if you would, let's take a moment and pray for that before we get into John 15. Heavenly Father, thank you for the wondrous truth of your written word and how your written word reveals the living word, Jesus, to us. And we thank you, Lord, that you are glorified in that you are glorified to reveal your Son to your people. and that your Spirit makes your word come alive in a way that we are transformed by it, in a way that we start to receive your love and compassion and mercy, and that we start to love you back through your word. And that by your Spirit, Lord, through your word, you give us the ability to treasure Christ above everything and to believe you, to hear you, and for us to be changed by that. So, Father, we believe and we ask for that today, Lord. Would you give us the miracle of taking you at your word and believing every bit of it without any hindrance, and to know you more and to obey you more and trust you more through that today? We ask for the glory of your Son. Amen. Amen. Okay, well, let's look at John 15 today. I want us to keep in mind that this is shortly before Jesus' crucifixion. This is on the evening before his crucifixion, and Jesus is having this conversation with his closest disciples. Starting in verse 12, our Lord said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other." Love each other. So who's Jesus speaking to here? Who's he teaching? Anybody?
Me.
Well, amen. Amen. Me too, man. We're in the same boat. Jesus is in the boat. Well, yeah, he's speaking to us, but he's speaking in the context here, to his friends, right? He says, "You're my friends. I no longer call you servants, I call you my friends." And I think he's calling these first disciples friends. I think he's calling us friends. So what's Jesus talking about? What's his subject here? There's several good answers. Anybody want to throw one out?
Friendship.
Amen. Amen. Brian? Yeah.
Love.
Amen. Love and friendship.
Yeah. Laying your life down for the other. There's
yeah.
Greater gift.
Amen.
Sacrifice.
The cost of friendship. What was that?
Sacrifice.
Sacrifice. Amen. Amen. Well, I think that all these things that he's addressing in this passage are interconnected. You know, sometimes we read through a passage and we kind of isolate different things, and that's okay to maybe dig into it and try to understand it, but I think sometimes we can disconnect phrases and sentences that aren't disconnected. You know, this is all interlinked here, and I think at the heart of what Jesus is teaching, he's talking about friendship with Christ. He's talking about friendship with him. Just preceding this in this chapter, he talked about abiding. He's talking about intimacy, and that's really another, I think, a good synonym for friendship is intimacy, relational intimacy with somebody. Knowing somebody and being known is part of friendship, being accepted and loved and known by people. So let's unpack what Jesus is saying here. First of all, Jesus wants to be our friend. Jesus wants to be your friend. He desires that. He says in verse 16, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." If he was hanging out with us physically today and said, "James, I'm going to give you 15 minutes, and I want you to go pick out a best friend," I'm putting a bear hug on Jesus, right? You're not going anywhere. You're my new best friend. You know, I would choose him, right? But the mind-blowing thing for me is that for each and every one of us personally, he chose you.
Yeah.
Jesus chose you to be, he said, "You didn't choose me. I chose you." He chose us for salvation. He chose us for service. He chose us for obedience. He chose us for transformation, to glorify him. He chose us for friendship. Jesus chose us for all these things. And our friendship is based on His sovereignty. Our friendship is based upon His grace. He is Creator. He is God. He is King. And He didn't choose us because we were such great friend material at the time. You know, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He chose us in our worst state. On our best day, you're a child of God. You're a friend of God. On your worst day, you're a child of God. You're His friend. He chose us because of who He is, and that is great news. You know, there's times that we use phrases, and I use this a lot, talking about when I accepted Christ. The reality is He chose me. You know, I just accepted the truth that He said, I chose you. I accept you. Based on my blood on that cross, paying for your sin, giving you my righteousness, I chose you, and I accept it. I believe you, Lord. I don't totally understand why you would in your great mercy, but I believe you. And we take Him at His word. We trust what He says. 1 John 4:19 says that we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. Because He first loved us. He chose us. He loved us first. And we are responding to that decision on His part. He is sovereign. He is King. He chose us. Well, in this passage today, I think Jesus reveals some blessings and responsibilities that come with this friendship, this abiding, this intimacy that we have with Him. And I want to recognize four of those things this morning. If you've got a bulletin, there's a little fill in the blank there for you. First of all, His friendship involves great love. His friendship involves great love. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus laid down His life for you, personally.
Amen.
Praise God we belong to Him, that we're a family, but as an individual, for your sins, Jesus died. He laid down His life for you, and no one forced that upon Him. That was His choice. He willingly did that for you. His friendship with you involves great love. That was His motivation. You know, Jesus has been telling His friends and telling us that He's going to the cross. He's told His disciples He's going to the cross in their place. But it's really important that we understand that He did this based on His choice and not because we deserved it. Because there's times that His friends where we know, even though He remains faithful, maybe we've not been 100% faithful that day. Maybe we've lived a little bit for our own agenda. Maybe our thoughts didn't line up with His thoughts. Maybe our attitude wasn't very honoring to Christ in an interaction with somebody. Maybe something we chased after, an idol in our life, and we know I don't deserve that friendship today. But He loves us anyway,
yes,
even at our worst.
Amen.
And He calls us friends, and that does not end. It is based upon His great love for us. Not only does He love us this way, but He also makes commands because He is King. And so He says, love each other. As I have loved you, not in the way the culture loves, not in the ways that you find easy or convenient. Jesus says, as I have loved, you love that way. And it's not a request. It's a command from a King. Now, sometimes we get this impression of love that's wrong in our culture, and we think it's all about emotion. You know, how can Christ command an emotion, right? How can He command, I want you to feel something towards somebody? I mean, what does that indicate to us? This love is far more than an emotion. This love that He's talking about is a decision of the will to act on somebody's behalf, very sacrificially often. That's the way that He loved us. You know, sometimes I'll be listening to Moody Radio or one of the other stations, and they'll be talking about maybe a ministry opportunity in Africa or somewhere, or South America, and they'll be talking about, you know, there are these children there who don't have Bibles, and they live without very many meals, and we'd like to get food to them to show them the love of Christ. We want to get the Word of God to them, and I hear that, and it resonates, and I think, oh, Lord, I want to help be part of that, but you know what? Until I take action, I'm not really loving those people. I can feel sorry for them. You know, I can feel compassion, and I can feel sorry for that village somewhere or these children somewhere, but until it goes beyond emotion, I'm really not loving them the way Jesus loves them, because Jesus loved them to the point of going to a cross. And that's the type of love He calls us to. He calls us to action. to that kind of love, far beyond the emotions are great, and those follow along sometimes with the action. But he wants us to make a decision to love and to act upon the decision to put the other person first, just like he did. While we were yet sinners, what did Jesus do? He died for us. So he's saying, listen, even while you don't have whatever situation, you know, with somebody, even though they don't deserve it, they've offended you in some way, you don't like how they look, you don't like how they dress, you don't like the things they say about believers or whatever, love them actively where they are. Have that same great love that Jesus has. Another thing to recognize today, his friendship involves obedience. His friendship involves obedience. Our obedience does not earn that friendship, but our friendship is with the King. And even though he's given you the honor and the privilege of relationship with him, he doesn't stop being the King. And he has every right to demand obedience. And friendship with him involves more than love. It involves obedience. You know, I think of prayer sometimes. You know, I know the Lord is, of course, with us through the Holy Spirit, but he talks about that throne of grace and the privilege of approaching with boldness, making our request known to him. And so sometimes in my mind's eye, as I am having a time of prayer with the Lord, and I'll try to picture that, you know, I'll just imagine that I'm entering into the throne room, and this King has given me, of all people, the privilege of approaching his throne to speak and to hear from him, and what a privilege that is. But you know what kings do from the throne? They give commands. They give commands. And so he's saying, listen, you're my friend, and I'm going to give you the opportunity. You can come before me boldly, make request of me, but at the same time, I'm going to make commands for you to follow. Yeah. And our friend who is king does that. And so we need to be quick to obey. In verse 12, he says, my command is this. My command is this. Love each other as I have loved you. Verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. Not that you're earning it, but if you're a friend of the king, you're going to obey the king. Verse 17, this is my command. Love each other. Love each other. Now, one of the ways of if somebody's a police officer or on the fire department, one of the ways that they identify themselves is a badge, right? They have a badge. And so Jesus is saying, listen, if you're my disciples, if you're my friends, you've got a badge. You love like I love, and you obey me. You love me, you love like I love, and you obey. And that's the badge in the Christian life. In John 13 and verse 35, Jesus said, it's by this that everybody's going to know you're my disciples, if you love one another. And he expects us to have that badge in our life of that sacrificial love of Jesus. It identifies us as disciples, that we walk in obedience and we walk in love. His friendship also involves knowledge. His friendship involves knowledge. Verse 15, I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from the Father, I have made known to you. Jesus, in talking about a servant, it's really much like a slave, a bondservant. And a bondservant in a household is not going to be invited to sit at the dinner table. They're not going to be invited to sleep, usually oftentimes in the same house. And they're certainly not going to be in family discussions. Right? A servant is there just to obey. And they don't necessarily get in on what's going on with the family. They don't have that kind of intimacy. But Jesus says, I've let you in on what we're doing. That he and the Father and the Holy Spirit are involved in this world in a redemptive action. And he says, I have made this known to you. This is special. Not everybody knows this. Those who don't belong to him don't have this knowledge yet. But you do. You've been entrusted with it because you're his friends. Jesus is saying, listen, I've included you. You've been told the plans of the king. Isn't that awesome? There is a king who has a wondrous plan, who created this world and has a plan of redemption and shares that plan with his friends and says, I'm including you in it. I've given you this ministry of reconciliation. You're part of it. You're part of, and it's a wonderful privilege to have knowledge of what the king is up to because you're his friend. His friendship also involves purpose. It involves purpose. Verse 16, the Lord said, I've appointed you so that you may go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. What kind of fruit lasts?
Plastic.
What's that? Plastic? I love you, Michael. I love you. You're awesome, man. There's an illustration there that I'm not prepared for, but I'm going to use it in the future. That's so good. Thank you. Yeah, I mean, salvation, right? When we are saved, he brings us into an eternal relationship in the family. When he saves us, and so he's talking about the gospel. And of course, you know, we know the fruit of the Spirit as well, right? We have the Spirit, and so we're given the fruit of the Spirit, and that lasts. That's wonderful. But I think the Lord's also talking about what that fruit of the Spirit leads to. Because if you're walking in the Spirit, if you're walking in the light, and you've got the evidence of that and the fruit of the Spirit, it's going to open up opportunities to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what happens when somebody responds and they're born again? Fruit that really lasts. Fruit that 10,000 years from now in heaven, you're going to see that fruit. Isn't that awesome?
Never rots.
Never rots. Never ends. And then Jesus says, and so whatever you ask, in my name the Father will give you. We can isolate that and stick it on a plaque and try to apply it to all kinds of things that it doesn't apply to, but he's talking about salvation. He's talking about eternal fruit. So he's saying, listen, while you're at the throne, I'm giving you this blank check to ask for things. And it's going to be a good check because I've signed it. But the purpose of the check for receiving what you're asking is fruit that will last forever. That's the point of it. It's salvations. It's to make Christ known to people. What a privilege. What a privilege to have the Creator and Sustainer and Redeemer and King of all creation call us friend and say, this is the kind of relationship that I've purchased with my blood. To experience this friendship, it grows over time. It takes time. You know, you've got to walk with Jesus for a while, and that's part of our sanctification, that we just keep hopefully growing in this intimacy with Christ as we should if we're abiding in him. It takes trust. He gives us so many opportunities to not believe our eyes, but to believe what he says. But it takes trials. It takes difficulty. Being God's friend is not easy in this world. There's a lot of people who will tell you, and they probably mean well, that committing your life to Jesus Christ is going to mean comfort and prosperity and peace. Well, there's a little flavoring of that, yeah, but for the most part, that's false. I mean, there is a peace that passes understanding, and there is spiritual treasure. I mean, there's so much goodness. He lavishes us with so much goodness and grace, but it means conflict, too. This world is opposed to the gospel. In James chapter 4, in verse 4, the Bible says, you adulterous people, don't you know that friendship with the world means enmity against God? Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. There is a cost to following Jesus. There is a cost. There's a testing and trials that help us grow. It's for our good. But it's not easy. And, you know, the Lord gives us free will and we can choose to live our way in kind of a way of ease and a way of comfort sometimes, or to take up our cross and to follow him. He's invited us to be his friends. Jesus has invited us to have this relationship, to come to his throne, to hear from him through his word, to obey his commands. J. Oswald Sanders, a long time ago, said, "Each of us is as close to God as we choose to be." I think it's very true. God wants peas in a pod. He wants you so close. And then he says, "Now you respond to what I want, and you choose that too." King David, before he was a king, when he was a fugitive, he was near Bethlehem, and he was kind of dreaming, talking out loud, thinking about wishing for a drink from the well. Evidently, it was some really tasty, great cold water. But there was a problem. There was a Philistine garrison there, an armory. There was a strong presence, and three of his warriors, of David's warriors, heard the king just make this wish. "I wish I could have a drink from the well." And those three warriors went behind enemy lines to get to the well to just get a little drink for the king. You'll have to dig into the word. I'm not going to tell you how that ends. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of friendship with the Lord, of what that means, that these warriors, they risk their lives to just carry out the whim, the will of the king in the moment. I thought, that's the kind of friendship, that's the kind of friend I want to be. That when I hear Jesus say, "I want you to tell that person about me," that even if that person's behind enemy lines, "Yes, Lord, that's what I want. I want to make you pleased, and I want your will to be done and not mine. And even if it costs me, I want to go do what you said. I want to do what you want me to do." And then, of course, friends of the king not only love him, but we love each other. Verse 17, "This is my command, love each other." I think it brings Jesus a lot of joy when his friends are being friends to each other. That little fellowship time we have, I can just imagine the smile on the king's face. The joy. It's a privilege to be his friends. It's a privilege to be friends with each other. It's a responsibility. I'm going to pray for us, and worship team, you're welcome to come up. Lord, we know that your word says that all things were created by you and for you, things seen and unseen, created for your pleasure, for your purposes, for your glory. And that all of creation is sustained and continues because you will it to be so. And not only that, God, but we know that you are intimately involved in our lives, that you are a wondrous Redeemer. And we praise you for that, Lord. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for your love, that you offer freely to us, but was so costly to you. You are a wondrous king and a beautiful friend. And we know it is an awesome privilege that that's true. Lord, we pray that as we go from here in a little bit, help us to walk in faith. Your word says that even as we came to you at the beginning, that we continue in you. by grace through faith, Lord, and we pray that we would walk in that today, believing everything you say. And that we would be bold to make our request known to you because we are so needy and insufficient sometimes. And that you invite every kind of request. You are so full of grace and mercy. But we know that a priority for you is that those who are still lost in the darkness and under the chains of death and sin would be free and would become sons and daughters of God. So Lord, we pray, help us to pray that way today at the throne. As we go about the day, Lord, help us to ask that you would give us what's needed in the moment, boldness by your Spirit, Lord, that you would bring the right words to mind to be a witness as you tell us to be, that others could know about this awesome King who is offering them salvation no matter who they are or what they've done. Lord, thank you that you know our hearts and you know our minds and you know our struggles. Lord, as we get ready to sing your praises, I pray, bring these words to life. Help this be a rejoicing, a prayer, a cry of our hearts to you. Be glorified, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.